You're not gonna get the players to do this. Well, the players, it looks stupid if they're on here trying to fight for their right to continue to say the N-word. So I don't think there'll be no opposition towards that. But yeah,
Okay,
I put it on.
brother Patrick, the recording had went out. I don't know
I
what's
saw
going on.
it. I saw it. I saw it.
Yeah, so when I came back on, a new recording
That's
started.
when
So
it
I'm gonna have
started.
a, so I'm gonna have a part one. This is gonna be part two. So let's matter of fact, I wanted to come to you next, brother Patrick. So go ahead and you have a question or comment.
No, I just was reiterating. I said, I know I got on here late, but I already know about the five proposals that we had for the league. As soon as Brother Kwabena had read it to me over the phone, I said, oh yeah, send me that so I can post it on all my social media outlets. And once I did, most of the feedback was positive. One person said this should be all over the internet. A couple of people were saying that it might be a little opposition on certain things. I said, them players ain't gonna fight for their right to say the N-word. That'll make them look stupid. So, and he agreed with that. So yeah, it just needs to be spread. It needs to be spread, you know.
Now, what is that sign on the back right there?
It
Can you
says,
see?
like you more than biscuits and gravy. I'm down in Louisiana visiting my dad, so that's just something he put over the window as a curtain. So I thought it was cool.
Okay. All right. So we'll come back to you, Brother Straw. This is Brother
Right.
Straw. Brother Machinda, question,
He
comment?
had made some already.
Well, that's not recorded. Well, so we'll go to you. We'll get back to Brother Mashinda. Okay, so go ahead, Professor Rob.
Yeah, appreciate what's been said, but I understand it correctly. Scientist Sana, Brother Kwamana, it's beautiful, the work you're doing and the brothers in Chicago and the front line and the network that you were working with, the various organizations you mentioned. And Asante, for y'all efforts, 22-year effort to get Malcolm X drive in Gary, Indiana. I mean, to struggle for 22 years is a beautiful thing. It shows commitment, it shows self-determination. And it shows that, you know, as long as you're struggling, you're not defeated. And we appreciate those efforts. I just have a few questions because, you know, the criticism of first, I'm going to deal with the rap, and then I'm going to get back to the Jewish thing. You know, we've had a lot of people criticize the music. And we even had some people try to go after the music producers and the people that's promoting it on their airways, as well as, you know, paying these artists millions of dollars and telling our people that these are stars. You know, I never chose Lil Wayne. I never chose. I mean, there was no election for. You know, Lil Luke and all them, and Big Luke and all the Lukes and all of that. And, you know, conscious people monitor their children and make sure they don't have access to some of this music. But it's in the airway, and the kids have earphones now, and peer pressure and peer say, man, listen to this, listen to that, to some youth who may not have the ability to say no. But the subliminal seduction is, I hear what you're saying. Because when we go back to Dr. Amos Wilson and Dr. Bobby Wright and even Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, when she said, and she wrote her article, The Image, The White God Image and the Psychological Effect on Black Children. When we look at rap music from that standpoint, we can go after the artists, but we also, I suggest that we also have a campaign to the families and to the educational institutions that they should have courses or some type of communication to students and parents at an early age of the issues that you just brought out. I'd like for you to put that together, and in some way we get it to parents or those that are in foster home placement homes, and say that this could be leading to not only the kids shooting each other, but even shooting you. A couple of rap songs talking about killing their mama and their daddy. And so I just think that, you know, we have to fight this on a multifaceted way. It's not just going after the artists and going after the people that promote it, but going after it the same way that they put labels on cigarettes. And they do say some used to put labels on music. I mean, when we was coming up, you know, Red Fox and all of them, we had to hide them albums from our parents and listen to them, you know, and things of this nature. But it seemed like with the brother Charles, and you also, it's going to be hard. You need a network to go to some of these school boards, or even meet with the superintendent of the schools, and let you make a presentation on the school board to the school board that will be on the media afterwards, that they show it locally. Generally, people can tune into the school board or the city council. If you can get Lightfoot and rest of them to go along, see what you're saying, because you got to go mainstream, because the music is mainstream, and you got to, you know, you got to sell it to the media outlets that they, you know, the media talk shows that parents listen to. You know, the Steve Harvey and all of them, you know, because, you know, we teach Black consciousness, but our audience is very narrow in comparison to the bully horns all these people have. You know, they run around with 100 rings and gold chains, and that's taking pictures in front of Rolls Royce as props, and, you know, and doing all those things and drinking 40 ounces. And that's just as bad as the music, as far as I'm concerned, as far as suggesting the kids. And I think that strategy with the rap, because parents, mass media, institutions, you know, somehow we got to get them to buy into the narrative that you are working on, as far as getting people to see the harmful effects and what big institutions you're going against, and you're going to need masses of people to overthrow them because you don't have the money.
And you Professor, know? You know what? Yeah. You know, it reminds me of what Bob Law talks about working on this issue. He said, we got to get in that marketplace of ideas. And you know, what we spoke, and I just saw a clip of when we spoke at Marcus Garvey School. And I tell them often that the children and the youth, when you talk about these issues, I've never had a time when they were like, we're into it, because it's music and it's the music they know. So I agree with you. I think that's something that we need to look into, especially in getting into these schools. And not just, of course, I can't do it. We got to have a network of us that can do this and get to these schools and start sharing these ideas and sharing this information. And I appreciate that, brother.
It's got to be like a movement.
Yeah.
A movement. And it's a good movement. I mean, when you break down, see, first of all, I don't even understand rap. They talk so damn fast. So, but you break it down, man. You be hearing stuff. I don't even listen to it, first of all. But I'm 74. But I don't know what my grandkids are listening to because I ain't with them all the time. So my point is that, you know, you dissect it. It's like an operation, and you cut it open for people to see. And I think that's a good thing, because I don't know about other parents. They don't know, me and them don't know this is on the record sometimes. They don't even know how. Oh, I was teaching parenting class. I knew people didn't know what crack, parents didn't know what crack was, didn't know what the various new street drugs is. They knew what alcohol was, a 40 ounce, and they knew what weed was, but when it came down to ecstasy and all that stuff, they didn't know. And they didn't know the language. And now somebody said, if the Metro will get you, or what did you say that they say, Metro?
Look, Professor, when we do presentations, bro, I'm going to tell you, that's one of the things we use. Like, it'd be mixed adults and youth. We ask the question, said, anybody under 30, don't say nothing. Then we ask the question, if young Metro don't trust you, and the adults look at me like I'm crazy, what are you talking about? He was okay. Yeah. Now everybody answered. If young Metro don't trust you, and you will say, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah.
They all know it.
They all know it.
Exactly.
And see, a lot of the rappers, like I gave a lecture once, I said, to young people, you know, Tupac got popped. And Biggie got knocked. I said, they were 24 and 25. Then you look at Nipsey Hussle, and you look at the Migos. A lot of them are singing about the lives they don't live, but they become a victim of it. You know, they're singing gangsterism and trying to portray that role and talk that stuff in East Coast, West Coast, and all of that. But, you know, most of them are just entertainers. You know, they just learn how to talk fast. And then a promoter come and get them and put them on stage and promote them. You know, they got promoters. And we got to go after them also. Those are some, and I it seems voluminous, the struggle. And you only can go at one thing at a time. I understand that. But at the same time, it's beautiful the way you you dissect that rap and show the subliminal suggestions and seductions toward violence, drug use, rape, that many parents, because they talk so fast, and many parents be on their own cell phone and not listening to what their kids are listening to, or their kids have earphones and they don't know what they're listening to. So that type of education must come as far as rap from that standpoint, because it's a real serious struggle. The other thing, when it comes down to Kyrie, and I want Rashaqi to send you the video of Craig Hodges and
I'm at Mood. I watched it last night.
They run it down. Yeah. They run it down. And I'm just saying that ain't gonna hit mainstream. But because, you know, it's a code of silence. When Jesse Jackson called him Jaime, when Whoopi Goldberg said, hey, look, this is not anti-Semitic. This is white folks fighting white folks. They got mad. Took her off the air for a week. And she even called, she named herself after them, Goldberg. You know, she started going with Ted Danson and all of them dudes. You understand? She took it to the bedroom. So but they went after her. So they try as Rob, Raul said, they try to own the concept of Holocaust and to silence all other struggles. Like they're the only people that had a Holocaust. And that word is not just meaning Jewish people. And they ran it all down. But those are some issues.
Are you talking about Craig Hodges? Did he also blast the black media on that piece for taking their part in vilifying the man, calling him an idiot and stuff?
I'm not sure.
They talked about that because Mahmoud talked about his teammate Shaq at LSU. It's good. You should check it out. It's Etan Thomas and all of them. It was good. Now, was Craig Hodges there with you
at Long Beach State?
Yeah, I taught him. I taught him. He mentions us in his book, me and Dr. Karanga.
Okay, that's right. Book.
He mentioned I started a group called a Black Athletic Association. And then when he became a student, I was a professor, he took it over and called it the African Athletic Association. But anyway, we had him on the show about what he was going through, because he talked about giving the note to Clinton and when he was up there, one of them, President Bush or somebody. But the point is that it's a situation whereas we've had great scholars been criticizing Jews all the time, Dr. Ben. John Henry Clark, Francis Cresswell Sean, they've said some way worse things than Kyrie. You understand? But it's a small audience. When Dr. Khalid Muhammad spoke to that small college and said he wanted to look up under the folk dress and see what he was, pull up that dress. It didn't become mainstream until the Zionists and the Jewish people put it on Nightline. Now millions of people saw it and heard what he said.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that they do with Kyrie. You understand? He was speaking to his followers about he was in search of information. The video is 3 hours long, according to them on the show, and that it has a lot about the history of black people being the first Hebrews. That's what it was about. And they had some name calling in there, but that ain't nothing. Europeans, do that all the time. Ain't nobody Trump.
And Rod, what about the bell curve back in the mid-90s when two Jews wrote that? Yeah, talking about black folks who were genetically inferior. They didn't get sweated for that.
Yeah, that came from Shockley and Bell wanting to sterilize black women, saying that they shouldn't have babies because they're going to come up eating it and all of that. I remember the bell curve and all that. But anyway, I want to just say again, brother, keep up the good work, and anything we can do to support it, we definitely do that, brother. Asante.
Right on, man. Appreciate that, bro.
Okay, let's see if we can get Brother Mashinda back in here, because we were off recording when he was speaking. Brother Mashinda, you there? Well, I guess he could have not. I don't know where he is. But okay, so now I wanted to ask a question and I wanted to make a comment. First, let me make this comment. We have a brother named Dr. Kamal Cambine. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, but he's one of the blackest people that I've ever met. And he has a saying, it's a subtle suicide. For black people, there's subtle suicide, but I want to mesh that with subtle genocide. So you have black folks, taking part in their suicide, and also they're partnering with you know, these other agents to do the same thing, to have genocide. The people want to kill us, but now you joining in with them and being a part of your own demise. So I just wanted to mention that. So my question is, these five demands that you have you, who did you approach with them? Who did you actually go to with those demands?
Actually, thus far, we've just gone to the people with them. And what's happening on Saturday, I mentioned the CEMOTAP forum with Dr. James McIntosh, and our guest Professor Smalls is going to be one of the guests on there. We're really going to lay them out at that point, at that time, which is this coming Saturday, and have more discussion with them and get them sent out to NBA administration and to the people. We're going to send it out in that forum, but just wanted to, we've just been putting it out with the people. And so that's a good question. I mean, if you got any other suggestions, if you all think we should send one to each team or the NBA Players Association or whoever. So I think that's, yes, thus far it's just been just to the people though.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, I think that's an excellent strategy, because what better thing to do is what they're trying to do, you know, what they're demanding. Now, do you know if Kyrie actually gave the money up? He had to give that money up to be back on the court?
As far as I know, because I think we shared that here, I think is, I said, now that Kyrie is back in uniform and on a professional basketball court, we are assuming that he has complied with the six criteria laid out. Because, you know, I'm not sure if he, I'm sure he probably met with him and negotiated some things, but as far as we know, he's complied.
There's
not only did Kyrie give him 500, the league did. And then firstly, Kyrie. They rejected Kyrie unless he did those other things. And then they said they wanted him to apologize, tell him who to apologize to and how to apologize.
Yes, they did. And during their game tonight, there was some type of printed public service announcement that was being aired going in and out of breaks. And I think that it noted that it was sponsored by Kyrie, and it might have said the Nets on it too.
What was that on?
Because they were on tonight, or they either played last night, tonight or last night, but whenever they played, and it might just be playing during games, period, that during the NBA games, there's a anti-hate public service announcement print, you know, it's a print campaign that's coming up. And then at the end of it, Kyrie's name is on there. So I'm assuming that, you know, he's a sponsor. In that space, yeah.
Wow, that makes these five even more important. Now, I understand that he got a hold of these, that he was sent these five issues that we put out. So he should have that. I'll check with the contact, probably not tonight, but tomorrow, and see. But my understanding is that he saw these five things. But, man, that's crazy. So there's a written document out there at the games that they're putting up. Okay.
Wow.
So they're showing it in the, you know, when they go out, you know, when they're going out to breaks and when they're coming back from breaks. Mm. Commercial breaks.
So they are going hard in the paint for their causes. So that's interesting. Okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to get some last comments by everyone, and we're going to close out, and then we can do another show. Afterwards, you know, coming soon. But let's start with Brother Straw. Last comments or question?
Not no questions, just comments. Appreciate your show. Appreciate Brother Kwabena for coming up with that. That's one of the best things that he's done, in my opinion, through his whole struggle with the movement he's been on. This is a perfect platform for him to launch that sort of thing. And the NBA does need to be taken to task. Yes, send this to the Players Association and to teams and see if it gets legs. And if it don't, then we can take it from there and go even further. So, Hotep.
Appreciate you coming, brother. And next time, bring the family like we had the last time. All right, Brother Charles.
Thanks again. Thanks, Brother Kwabena, for the invite. And thank you, brothers, for receiving me. I put in the chat, I put a link to the article with regard to the neuroscience in terms of attachment and music style. And then there was another article that I came across a couple of days ago, and it kind of documents a history. It's out of the University of Miami Law School, and it documents a history of lawsuits and legal battles against the music industry. And so it's pretty good article to read.
Okay, appreciate that. I'm gonna show the article as we're talking. Okay, Professor Ron.
First of all, I want to say it's been an excellent presentation, Brother Kwamina. And that I think Chris Paul is one of the leaders of the NBA
Players Association.
Then the other thing is that, you know, we used to have Black Books Bulletin out of the Institute of Positive Education out of Chicago. We used to have the Black Scholar where articles could be published during the movement. I don't know if we can develop a relationship. I think it was the Chicago Defender, they got a Black newspaper in Chicago.
Yeah, the Defender.
Defender is in Chicago.
I think a sit down with the editor and go over the things that you said, or see if anybody in your network know them. See if you can get a weekly article on these issues that we face. I know that, you know, we work with the Sentinel. Dr. Karanga does. He gives a weekly article. And, you know, the information, the content that you shared with us tonight, is to me, is something, if I was still teaching, you'd be a guest speaker at the university. But, you know, we got the young generation. You know, they wanted to deify Allen Iverson, saying he's the one that brought hip-hop into the NBA. Tattoos and wearing his hat sideways, like Scrawl. All of that.
Mine is just backwards, sideways, would be like, well, that.
He had it all kind of ways. And they was on him for, you know, his ways. So, I mean, we have to just develop some really strategic places to hit this. And some of the places in the school district is the parent group. Then when they get federal money, they have to have what they call a district advisory committee. That parents are supposed to have a role in the spending of the federal money if they get Title I money. And just presentations like that, but but right now, what you're doing right now, with the limited resources we have, and you know, you're doing a great, 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 great job. And I just want to just say, hey, man, the struggle continues, and I'm going to listen to this again, take better notes, and incorporate it in my lectures when I give lectures, because you know I have a lot of issues with rap stars, you know. Getting gold teeth with nothing but silver and gold. I mean, just wow, you know, this is going mad. And, you know, like the white man only sees us for entertainment, sex, and labor. And no shared power. The top four teams in college football are all from red states. Georgia.
The Confederacy.
They can play football and they go to the game and cheer, but they won't even let the cats' mamas vote if they lived in there. Without voter suppression or voter intimidation, You know, it's heavy, you know, just the exploitation. I taught a course called Exploitation of the Black Athlete. But anyway, it's just good, the education that you brought tonight, bro. Appreciate it.
All right. Brother Quabenau, last words.
Again, appreciate the platform, man, and being able to share, and then the encouragement and the suggestions. And, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And it's just, you know, this culture, this music is so important. I mean, the reason why we do this work, man, because our love for music. It's just, you know, music, what it does to you. And it you know, and I guess I think I did read the article that Dr. sent, Dr. Charles, and you know, and again, dealing with people like Bob Law, who's been in music for so long, and, you know, things that we're talking about today, but just what music does to me, and the fact that they've taken our music, our beautiful music, and done this to it, and turned it and used it as a weapon against us. It's just so sad, because it doesn't just do it to me, of course, it does it to everybody listening, I'm sure, here. I know my brother, how much of a music head he is, but even our youth. But again, what they're getting masqueraded as music is nothing but poisonous propaganda, and it's been used as a weapon against them. And some of the main people who are part of this record industry that hates us and pushes out this music are the same ones, again, who came down on Kyrie, same ones who Kanye has pointed out, you know, that he works with, that has been working with. And it's just something has to give. Again, our people are suffering. Our people are, our sisters are suffering. Our communities are suffering. And it's time to stop. It's time to put a stop to it. So, again, I appreciate, again, being able to share this platform. And, again, all these powerful, wonderful suggestions we got here, man. And we just, our movement's Clear the Airways Project. We also have an Elevated Arts and Culture Collective that we just started as part of the Nubian Leadership Circle, one of the cadres. It's called the Arts and Culture Cadre. But, again, we have this collective called the Elevated Arts and Culture Collective. So that would be good for people to check out and join. And with that collective, you know, you'd either be an artist or supporter of the arts, again, who supports music and artists who uplift the masses, does anything to demean and degrade art. But again, the struggle continues. Look forward to working with the group more. And again, appreciate the time. So one love, y'all.
Appreciate you, Brother Quabenau. Always excellent content, excellent information. And things that we have to continue to do, because it's really ridiculous. Mental illness is running deep. So, yes, appreciate it. Appreciate Brother Charles Alexander coming, Brother Straw, Brother Mashinda, Professor Rock. Excellent, excellent. We're going to keep doing this. Okay, Professor Rock, do we have anybody for Monday? I know we got. We do? Not yet?
I've talked to Troy. You want to do it the Monday after, so I'll find somebody the next time. And maybe Brother Charles can come on and talk about psychological development of the Black child.
There you go, Brother Charles. See, you have an invitation for this Monday coming up. But we'll talk off air. So next week, we have another brother from the nation coming on. The brother is, his name is Doc Zach Master Barber, and the topic is the power of networking. So that should be very interesting. He's another one of the brothers from the nation, and we enjoy all the brothers from the nation when they come on and give us the good food that they got to give to us. So each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Everybody have a good evening.
Peace. That's an invitation.